This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. Okay, that wasn't as smooth as it could have been. Oh man, I need to do some more research. See if I can find a Bluetooth remote for this thing. Anyways, it's been a fascinating week, given the election results and conversations with friends and all that sort of thing. But we got some good stuff done this week at work, and so life goes on. Got some good writing done. This is the final week of my writing sprint for, first writing sprint for book 22. That all seems to be going fine. There's enough in there to kind of wiggle people's brains a little bit, so I think we'll be fine. I should be able to get to 90,000 words on this first sprint, which is the extra goal. The normal goal is 80,000 words, but I have found it just works so much better if I get to 90,000 words on the first sprint, because then I just have 60 left to go, and I usually have 8 weeks to get that done, and wow, it's easier. So we're on track for that. And then after this week, I'm going to switch back to book 22. I've gotten a lot of good input on that. And so that's in. And so starting probably Sunday, I'll start putting that input in and then do a read through and then do whatever tweaks I need to do, and then we'll go from there, and then that book will be released and done and done. So that's good. Costuming is going fine. I'm working on the time traveler costume now, and I know what all the pieces are. I'm still not sure how everything's gonna fit together, but you know, part of this adventure is just going with the flow, you know, just trusting that God is going to work out the details, and I'll just do what I think I'm supposed to do on any given day, and we'll just see what happens. And so this has really turned into very much an experiment in learning just to move gently and quietly and quickly with the nudges from the Spirit. So, you know, if I'm going along and I feel like I get a little nudge, oh yeah, I'm going to need X, whatever. I just hop on and order it and get it brought in. And if I get a nudge about how to add a band of metal around an infinity mirror that I'm building, I'm just like, yep, okay, well, let's do that, see how that works out. And so it's really, it's really fascinating. So by this point, I have a paintball armor that I have lifted up and made space between the hard plastic pieces and the foam pieces, and then I've lined all those pieces with lights so I can make LEDs light up behind it and kind of make things glow. I've got all those pieces done. I've got the infinity mirror squared away. I've got to do some painting on that, but that's in pretty good shape. I know what I'm going to do for... I think I know what I'm going to do with from some nacelles that I'm going to put on the outside, on the sides of the speaker. I think I know what I'm going to do for a lot of the other things. I have 3 weeks now, so, you know, step at a time, step at a time. We'll just see how this goes. I don't expect the nacelles to take me too much time, but my time is going to get chewed into this weekend. This is Nana's funeral this weekend, and so we have a viewing on Friday. Got family coming in, so I probably will have to go up and pick up food here and there and get that paid for and like that and like that. So I expect that I'm going to get crowded a little bit. But the funeral is on Saturday, and it looks like most everybody is going to be heading back right after the funeral. So I'm assuming I'll have some time Friday night to work on a few things, or Saturday night to work on a few things. And then, you know, we'll be quieted down, so it'll all work out. So far, it's always worked out. Sometimes I've had to take a little time off work to get some things done, but thing about this month is there is Thursday and Good Friday, so there's a little extra time in there that's already built in. I am going to have Aiden on Thursday all day because there is no childcare, there is no school. Wait. Oh, yes, on Thanksgiving. Yes, on Thanksgiving. So Dustin doesn't have anybody to watch Aiden, and Dustin is working Thanksgiving. So I told him, oh, we'll watch Aiden. And so, but my wife and her best friend will be there. So potentially I can, you know, work on some things while they kind of watch him, or I can drag a chair in and, you know, work on some things while he watches TV. We'll figure it out. Having him there is not really that much of a burden, because I've mentioned in the past that I can just sit and write while he's doing his thing. So, you know, we're usually okay. We'll be good. You know, all in all, things are puttering along. I mean, there's just no question that we are in for an adventure over these next 4 years. And it's really going to be fascinating to see what type of resistance there is to what Trump is trying to accomplish. It's quite the team that he's putting together, and extremely unconventional, and of course that is upsetting some people. So yeah, it's going to be this. It looks like they are going forward with the formation of a Department of Government Efficiency. And Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to be right in the thick of that. That's, wow. Wow. That's going to be really interesting. You know, who knows? Who knows? One thing that was interesting on the election per se, you know, there's been some reflecting on it. The Democratic Party doesn't seem to be self-reflecting much at all about it. They're just finding people to point their fingers at and blame. It's going to be really interesting to see if they blame enough Biden for it that they then evoke 25th Amendment on them so Kamala Harris can be president, first female president for a few days. That's going to be interesting to see if they do. Or if something just happens to happen to Joe Biden before he hands over power on the 20th of January. I thought it was very interesting that when he went to meet with Trump, or when Trump went to meet with him at the White House, you know, he's very cordial on camera. They talk, they discuss things. You know, it's just amazing that this person who supposedly was a great threat to democracy, now all of a sudden, well, you know, and who was Hitler and Satan and everything else, well, now all of a sudden it's, well, he won the election, so everything's fine. It's like, so you really didn't believe that. But, you know, that's politics for you. It's like when Kamala Harris accused Joe Biden in the debates that they had in 2020 that he was a racist. And then when she was asked about it later, well, if Joe Biden is such a racist, why did you agree to be his vice president? And she said, it was a debate. It was just a debate. And then she cackled. So, you know, I guess you can just say whatever you want to say if it's a debate or it's politics, and then everyone is just supposed to go on afterwards like it's fine. So, yeah. So, a little more insight into the election and some of the concerns that I had expressed before the election. I had actually mentioned a few months before that there was a Democratic strategist who had agreed to go on a podcast called Triggernometry. It's a good podcast. It's Constantine Kissin and somebody else, and I can't remember his name. But one of the things I noted, and I think I mentioned it on the podcast, one of the things I noted about having this Democratic strategist on is even then she was absolutely convinced that the Democrats were going to win. Absolutely convinced. Even though all the polls showed it being really tight. And she said at the time, well, you know, the Democrats have a really good ground game, in essence, she said. And I had taken that to mean, we know how to get out the vote. We know how to, you know, gin up votes and get things where they need to be. And that was very interesting. And I think I noted it at the time that the only way we're going to win this thing, or the only way Trump's going to win this thing, is getting above the margin of fraud or the margin of, you know, cheating. So what was interesting is they had her back on Triggernometry, and they were talking to her, and she, up until the day of the election, I think, was still convinced that they were going to win simply because of the ground game, not because they had a better candidate, but that their ground game was better in terms of getting out the vote. Obviously, they did not win, and she said she was just as shocked as anybody by that. But as it turns out, probably one of the reasons that Trump won was because of the ground game that other people were carrying out on the Republican side. And I guess Charlie Kirk was one of the people who were facilitating that, you know, crisscrossing across the United States, having conversations on college campuses, getting people signed up. I think I've seen some videos of him asking students, so what was the one thing that Kamala Harris has done? Just name me one thing that she's accomplished in her 4 years. And, of course, people sputter and can't come up with anything. And Charlie Kirk was on Megyn Kelly, and Megyn Kelly was really singing his praises over the fact that he had gone out and worked and worked and worked and worked to get out young men, young people, to get them to vote or to go register and actually vote. And certainly there was a groundswell there in young men specifically registering and voting for the first time. I had a buddy. He was in his 40s. He had never voted before, but he got registered and voted in this one. So, you know, it's interesting. So it's going to be really fascinating. I mean, I haven't heard anyone claim that the election was rigged. There was a saying that was going around, too big to rig, and that's what, you know, or they called it the surge. I mentioned that people were looking for a surge, and they attributed the fact that there was this surge to the fact that it was undeniable that Trump had won the election. And so there doesn't seem to be any disagreement over the fact that Trump has won the election. There are disagreements in other areas. The aforementioned finger pointing that's going on now inside the Democratic Party that appears to be going on. How do you ever know for sure what's really going on when media reports can just lie to you? So there does seem to be, you know, some finger pointing going on with the Democratic Party. So that's certainly going on as part of the fallout. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of talk about, you know, fake ballots or stuffing ballot boxes or anything like that. So, I mean, that's good. That's good. At least people have a little more confidence that the outcome here was actually a true outcome. I've been saying, you know, for quite some time that I've been deeply concerned about the deep state and about, you know, all these dirty tricks that have been pulled before that stand the potential to be pulled again. And I think we're starting to see some of that happen. But before we talk about that, I should also mention, in terms of the Republicans and their get out the vote, this last week I was listening to some people comment. I think this was on Megyn Kelly as well, or maybe this was just reinforced by what I had heard other people say, and that is that apparently Elon Musk looked at the election and agreed with everybody that it was basically going to come down to which way Pennsylvania went. That was the absolute key state. And that if men didn't get out in force and vote, that they were going to get outvoted. And so, I think I have the figure right. Elon Musk actually spent, I think they said, 45 days just prior to the election in Pennsylvania holding his own rallies and getting people registered to vote. And of course, he did that thing where he started a super PAC, and if you signed up for his super PAC, you got put in a drawing for $1 million every day. They drew somebody's name out of the super PAC and, you know, gave him $1 million. And his philosophy was, you know, that's going to get more people to sign up for the super PAC, maybe get more people registered to vote. And so, you know, Elon Musk certainly was a huge contributor to making the election too big to rig. It's all just really, really fascinating. And so I don't know that we can say definitively whether there was an attempt to rig things or not. Sorry. But I think we can say that the Republicans certainly mobilized more people to vote than they had ever mobilized before. So now we're on this side of it. Trump is making some audacious picks for his cabinet. And depending on which side you are of the political aisle, pretty much depends on how you feel about these picks. There's some little, you know, some little arguments about some people. But you know, we'll just see how this all works out. There has been some disturbing news. And whether this is true or not is hard to know. because it was reported on CNN, and of course CNN reports on fake news some of the time, at least. We know this because of some of the things that have been reported, and I certainly wouldn't put it past CNN to report a story that's very weakly sourced if they thought it was going to make Trump angry. Which, you know, you can understand how this story might make Trump angry. So supposedly the story was that there were personnel at the Pentagon. Trump has talked about the fact that he's going to clean out the woke generals from the army. And, you know, that he might appoint some kind of commission of warriors that would review the generals and then make recommendations as to who should be fired. And that he has also talked about potentially using the army to go into places where they needed to carry out mass deportations. And the story that CNN came out with was that they supposedly had inside information that there were generals or high-ranking officials in the Pentagon that were already making plans to not enforce what Trump asked them to do because they said it was the moral obligation of officers to not follow illegal orders. Okay, well, first of all, you don't have the orders to begin with, so you don't know if the order is illegal or not. So, you know, that's a problem, even having those kinds of discussions, because if they do that, and in fact, the orders are not illegal, if they are within Trump's powers to make those and the officers refuse to carry them out, that's treason. So, because that's our form of government. The military is under the leadership of civilians. That's the way it's set up and should be. Well, what is astonishing is that CNN was having a little panel discussion about this, and the guy was going off on it, and he was extremely disturbed by this story, to his credit, that these discussions were even happening, sans any orders, you know, that people in the armies and, well, in the military should not be laying plans for open sedition against an elected president. And he was, you know, quite upset about all of that. And the response from one of the CNN staff was, well, but you have to understand that some of the things that Trump has said, you know, I can understand. And he's like, no, he is the elected president. It was just like, basically what was being said was, well, he hurt their feelings by something he said, so they have every right to plot not to do what he wants. And it's like, no, that is not how it works. So if the story is true, there's a whole lot more space between here and there. I mean, we might like to think that Trump is going to just put all these people in and it's all there are just going to be obeyed and it's all going to be sunshine and roses, but the entrenched bureaucracy that has been in power for decades is not going to go quietly into the night, as one person said. They just aren't. And so this is going to be really, really fascinating. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.